not by the winds, the waves of our culture that go here and there and in all different directions, but a people who are driven by your word and by your spirit. Teach us what that means today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many wristbands do we have this morning? I have mine. Uh-oh, no more than last week. Okay, another one back there. Good. So if you don't have your wristband, when you go to your small group, and I know most of you are going, right? Either after and during the second service or tomorrow evening here at church in the fellowship hall, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the library, or Thursday evening at Chris and Kelly Dahl's place, the youth on Wednesday evening as well. There's a group going on right now. We want to give you opportunity, because one of the best parts of this whole thing is how we can reflect together on what we're reading and what we're learning. I have learned so much from other people, stuff that I'm just too dull to pick up when I read. And I listen to how you are reading it and understanding. And I learn so much more, and I am so blessed by that. If you haven't been to a small group, you're missing something very profound. And I would encourage you to do that. And confront yourself with the question, how would my life be different? How would I live differently? How would I see the world and people around me? How would I react with those who are close to me and those who are not so close? How would my life change if I was confronted with the notion that I may have only 1 month left to live? It forces reprioritization. You begin to see the fluff as fluff. And you begin to see what matters as being really important. And I pray that you'll take this time to read the book, to confront yourself, your heart, your soul with these questions. I did when my dad was sick, and it changed my life. I have to tell you, I cannot live my life the same since then. It's been 32 years since he died. But I still to this day remember, and it impacts my daily life in a very powerful way. It provides a context for understanding how I should move forward. And I don't care how old or how young you are. If you will do this honestly, it will change your life. It'll change the way you get up in the morning. And I encourage you to think through what you would do if you knew you had only 30 days to live. It'll teach you how to live well. And today we're taking a look at the third principle in 1 month to live. And that principle is to learn humbly. Those who are faced with the end of their life have a remarkable humility. Most often they have to depend on other people in ways they've never had to before. They're no longer self-sufficient or proud, yet in their weakness, they find a liberating truth. This is true, I can tell you. It's found in 2 Corinthians 12, the 9th verse. Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. It's one of those difficult passages where Paul is struggling with an issue in his life that he has been completely powerless to deal with. And so he asked God, in Scripture, he asked God three separate times to remove it. But God says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Do you ever feel weak and helpless and powerless in life? I think we all do. I think we all at times feel powerless. Maybe you have a habit that you just feel powerless to break, or maybe it's a problem in a relationship and you've tried everything to overcome it, but it just seems to get worse, not better. And you just feel like there's nothing you can do, that you feel powerless to do anything about it. Or maybe it's a problem at work, and it's just draining your energy and your creativity, and you feel powerless to solve it. Or maybe your schedule is overloaded, and you feel completely overwhelmed and burned out. I think you know what I mean. You know, your emotional batteries are just drained, and you feel powerless to control your schedule. I think we all, at times in our lives, feel powerless when faced with what seem to be the demands of life. And we just want to turn around and walk away. I haven't had a lot of luck with motorcycles lately, but I've ridden them a bit in my life. I remember bombing around all through my high school and college years and even into my seminary years on a Honda. And I had a ball riding that thing. It was cheap. It was reliable transportation. Well, it was most of the time. I remember once being late for work, which wasn't uncommon. But I jumped on my bike thinking it would get me there fast. It usually did, but not on that day. About a mile from work, it just stopped on Snelling Avenue. it was dead on the spot. I kicked the starter, ran the battery down to nothing, but it was no go. I had to get to work. I mean, I just had to. So I started to push the bike, and I did, all the way to work. When my shift was over, all the way back home as well. As you can imagine, some of the guys at work had a great time. "Hey, Paul, great bike. Man, that's fast." As I pushed it, I was, well, you might say, a little bit frustrated. The motorcycle is great transportation if the motor is running. And it occurred to me, that's a good picture of the way we pursue life at times. We have all this power available to us, this motor that's able to really get you up and going, but we choose to ignore the engine and just push our bike around. And we wonder why it's so hard. And we wonder why we're tired all the time and why we're so frustrated. Isn't that the way a lot of us face life? You know, we have all this power available to us. We have God's power to help us in our lives, to help us in our marriages, to help us in our finances, in our work, in our families, to help us where we spend every single day. We have God's power available to us, but so much of the time we choose, rather than starting the engine, we choose to just push the bike without the motor. We live life in our own strength. We try to climb the hills of life and face the problems on our own. In life, we have real power available to us. We have God's power. But so much of the time, we live life in our own strength. So often, if you look at your life, if you'd step back a moment, you'd see that you're pushing your motorcycle around without starting the motor. When we start the engine, all we have to do is twist the throttle and tap into God's power for our lives. And everything changes. But have you ever had a crash on a motorcycle? I can tell you a thing or two about that. But life is like that as well. There are times when we're riding high and then comes the crash. And we all experience failures. Well, today we're going to talk about a guy in the Bible who crashed big time. And yet God gave him the power to begin again. And he became a great champion for Christ and one of the greatest of all time. And you know who I'm talking about. It's Simon Peter. Simon Peter teaches us by his own example how to learn humbly. He teaches us three important lessons about how we can learn humbly. If you and I apply them to our lives, we can have the power to begin again. We can get a fresh start out of the starting gate of life. Let's learn from Peter this morning. The first lesson I need to learn from my losses. I need to learn from my losses. Everybody fails in life. We've got to learn from those failures so we can move on. Now, Simon Peter was one of the original members of Christ's inner circle. In fact, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter, which means the rock. And he said, you're going to be the team captain. I'm going to build the whole team on you. You're the rock. You're my champion, Peter. Now, Peter became overconfident. You know, he's kind of like us. He became proud. And on the night that Jesus gathered the team in the upper room, Jesus warned him, this is going to be the most difficult trial of your life. Are you hearing me? You're going to be tested like never before. Your life will hang in the balance. And Jesus warned all of his disciples, every one of you are going to fail. I'm telling you. It's a big-time crash tonight, guys. Are you hearing me? But Peter said, not me, Lord. Don't you remember? I'm the rock. Right? I'm the captain. I'm the champion. I'm not going to fail. You can count on me. I'll be with you all the way to the finish line. I'll be right there with you. I don't care how tough it gets. I'm going to be right there with you. Right to the very end. And then what happens? Well, you know the story. Right out of the starting gate, Peter crashes. And he doesn't just simply tip his bike over, you know. He crashes on the freeway, kind of like I did, royally. It's a bad one. He denies even knowing or having anything to do with Jesus three times. He loses his nerve. He becomes afraid. He doesn't want anyone to even know that he knows Jesus. He crashed big time. Okay? But notice what happens in Luke 22, the 61st and the 62nd verses. After his crash, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. That's brokenness. That's a picture of deep regret. Jesus didn't have to say a word to Peter. He just looked at him. He looked at him with compassion and he looked right into Peter's heart and saw the regret and the guilt and the shame. Like Peter, we all get there from time to time, don't we? You know what I mean. We've all been there at some point in our life. Maybe you're right in the middle of a crash today. Maybe it's a crash in your marriage, a crash in your family, a crash in your business, or an emotional crash. But you're right there. You're right in the middle of a crash. And Jesus doesn't have to say a word to you. He just looks with compassion right into your heart, and he sees the guilt and the regret and the shame. And he looks at you straight in the eyes with that loving, penetrating look. And he says to you, because of the power of the cross, failure is never final. Because of the power of the cross, you can rise again. We have the God of the second chance. And he wants to give you the power to begin again. That's what he did for Peter. He gave Peter the power to rise. But to begin again, I have to learn humbly from my losses. And to learn from my losses, I have to take on something and I have to let go of something. I have to take on responsibility for my failures. Learning humbly means I've got to take responsibility for my failures. I've got to own them. I can't try to explain them away. I just have to simply say, this is my bad. This is me. Look at Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. When I admit my mess ups, you know, when I screw up and I just admit it to God, I get another chance. When I take responsibility for my failures and don't blame other people, God forgives and I get another chance. I have to admit my sins so I can be forgiven. I have to admit my failures so I can learn from them. Now, Peter was proud. He'd been arguing with the other disciples over who was the greatest among them. But after his crash, it wiped out all of his pride. In fact, he felt like God could never use him again. But just the opposite was true. Now that he had crashed, God finally could use him. You see, God can't use me when I'm proud. Okay? Because the barriers are up and we don't allow him to do his work in us. God can use us when we're broken. When we finally come to that point when we say, God, you're my only hope. And some of you are at that place right now, broken. You're right in the middle of the pain of a crash. And this morning I'm telling you, that's a good place to be. It's a painful place, but that place of pain is the place of new beginnings. It's at that place that God can begin to use you. He can fill us with his strength and his power. When we've emptied ourselves of our pride and our ego, we have room for his life and his power in us. It's a place of new beginnings when I take responsibility for my failures. I have to take on something, but I also have to let go of something. To learn humbly, I also have to let go of my guilt. If you crash, it's important to get right back up again. And today some of you feel like you've fallen. Today some of you feel like you've gone so far off God's track, you can never get back on track again. You feel like you've blown it and you're totally out of God's will for your life. I want you to know today, the race is not over for you. Maybe you feel like you've gone so far off track that you can never get back on. And no, God says, I still have a race for you. Because our God is the God of the second chance. And he is always there to pick you up when you've fallen. After Christ rose from the dead, the angel was at the tomb. And look what the angel said in Mark 16, verse 7. He said this, but go, tell his disciples, oh, and tell Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. The angel said he's alive. He's not here. You need to go tell the disciples he's alive. And oh, don't forget Peter. Remember, Peter is still included after the crash. God wanted to be sure that Peter knew he was still a part of his plan. You see, Jesus knew that Peter was totally broken, and he felt like God could never use him again. He felt like he had completely blown it. Peter was broken, and he felt that he could never race again. It was over for him. And Christ wanted him to know, Peter, I still have a race for you to run. I know how you're feeling, but just know you're still included. I still have a plan for your life. I'm going to give you the power to begin again, to become a great champion for me. Just at that time of greatest brokenness, Christ reaches down and picks us up. Perhaps today God is saying that to you. I want to give you the power to begin again. I have a great plan for you, a great race for you to run. I want you to become a champion in life. But I have to let go of something. I have to let go of my guilt. And that's my responsibility. God forgives me through the power of the cross, but I have to let go of my guilt, because guilt is what blinds me to God's vision for my life. Some of you feel like you have no future because of guilt from your past. You're just stuck in the past and you can't get past it. You say, I blew it big time. Well, guess what? You're right. You did. Get over it. God forgives. He restores. And He calls you back into service. Get past it. Guilt muddies up our vision. It clouds our ability to see God's plan. And we can't see the race that He wants us to run until we have chosen to let go of our guilt. We've got to get it out before God. Put it all at His feet, every bit of it. All the guilt that you're carrying. Tell Him that you just can't handle it anymore. And He promises He will pick it up. And He'll deal with it. He'll forgive it. And He'll forgive it decisively and finally. And throw it into the deepest part of the ocean. Forever forgotten. And that guilt becomes forever powerless. The past then is over. It's gone. Forever gone. It's time to start looking at your future. Your future is as bright as the promises of God, but you've got to let go of your guilt and let God take care of it. We don't trust Him with our guilt. We're too proud. When God forgives, we keep wanting to pick it up. We like to play in the mud. Somehow it makes us feel good. I'm not sure why. I think many times we use it as an excuse not to serve. I don't have to walk forward. Man, I'm blown it. I'm damaged goods, right? I can't serve like that. I've blown it. And God says, I've forgiven you. I've taken your guilt. I've destroyed your guilt and I've thrown it so far away that you can't get back to it, yet you always bring up the topic. God says, that's over with. Let it go. Peter began to learn to do that. He took responsibility. He owned his failure. He didn't blame anyone else. And then he started letting go of his guilt. And he lets God's unconditional love take control. So the first thing I have to do to learn humbly is to learn from my losses. And then I can surrender to God's strength. Surrender to God's strength. Once I learn from my losses, I have to surrender to God's strength. I have to rev up my engine of God's power. I got to get it started. To learn humbly, I need God's power. I can't change in my own strength. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. Then He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Now, today, if you read all the self-help books, and there are thousands out there, they're advertised on TV every single day. They tell you if you want to find purpose in life, you need to look within and find your purpose, the reason why you're here. And they tell you that you need to satisfy yourself, pursue your desires, meet your own needs. And I'm here to tell you there is no way you'll find your purpose in life by looking within. Your purpose for living is not found within your heart. You have to look to God, who created you, because He knows why He made you and what He made you for. Don't go with all this garbage about looking within. because you won't find a thing. You've got to look to God, the God who created you. He knows why He placed you on this earth. Only He knows your purpose for living. Jesus said, I must deny and follow God's plan and God's path and God's way and God's purpose for my life. And that's what brings total fulfillment. It is only God's strength that will carry you forward. And thirdly, I can pursue God's path. Pursue God's path, His calling for you. He created you. He mapped out your life before you were ever born. Did you know that? Take a look at Psalm 139, the 16th verse. He has already made big plans for your life, plans that will bring you fulfillment and joy. Peter began to depend on God's power and trust God's path for his life, and God used him powerfully. Because of God's power, Peter proclaimed the gospel boldly, and on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people trusted Christ and were baptized. He was on the road to becoming a great champion for Christ, following Christ's road no matter where it led. When you pursue God's path, you can go full throttle in life. You see, God gives us His commands not to make us miserable, so that we can enjoy life, so that we can fulfill the purpose for which we were created. His commands are to move us forward. His commands are the accelerator on the right handle. If you ever ridden a motorcycle, you know exactly what I mean. When you follow His path, you can go full throttle. Look at what it says in verse Psalm 119, the 32nd verse. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. God's commands, His word, His will is not there to hold you down. It's to help you make sense out of life and to move you forward, full throttle, full gusto, no holds barred. You see, Christ, the Christian life is the most exciting and exhilarating and frightening and scary and fulfilling and rewarding life there is. It is full throttle. It's all out. It's high adrenaline. And that's the plan that God has for you. When you learn humbly, you can go full throttle. Look what it says in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Now, if you're proud, you're going to fall on your face. But when you get on your knees and trust Him for His power, He'll raise you up for greatness. God has great plans for you. He made those plans long before you were born. Look to Him. He'll show them to you. Maybe like Peter, you've heard the call, follow me. But like Peter, you have hit the wall with your pride and self-sufficiency. Peter fell on his face, but then Christ, in His restoring grace, lifted Peter to his knees to find His real power in him. What has God called you to do that only He can accomplish? I challenge you to get off your face and onto your knees, to learn humbly, to get out of your guilt and receive His forgiveness so that you can move forward. God has an amazing plan for your life. And if you'll learn from your losses, surrender to God's strength and pursue God's path, you'll experience the adventure of your life. What is it He's calling you to do? If you had only 30 days to live, you'd do it, wouldn't you? You'd pull the throttle. Just do it. Let's pray.